Yep, it's Talking Travel, and it's that time of the week where we talk all things travel, I guess.
All things travel. Well, we hope we'd like to do that every week.
We
like to inspire people at the end of the week and give them the weekend to mull on, maybe organising their next vacation.
That's right, and we're going somewhere where I actually want to go back again too.
Well, guess what? I am going back again as soon as they announce the flights to Hobart.
Oh, excellent. Tasmania.
So we talk about Tassie today. I'm going back in February and I'm supporting it. Like the flights out of Newcastle, hope everyone else does. And I'm going to Perth next month, so I'm doing all the right things.
Fantastic. And what else are we talking about today?
I'm going to talk about, there's an article that was in the one of the travel supplements on the weekend about how you can bargain hunt in some of your major cities in the world that have become, as we all know, so hellishly expensive to eat, to pay for a hotel, et cetera, et cetera. So we're just going to have a look at some of those cities and where you can maybe do it on a bit better budget.
Sounds great. And we are talking Tasmania and in particular Hobart, Sally.
Yes, I thought we should talk about that today, seeing as we've got those wonderful flights starting in December and they're just seasonal for the moment, going through to April next year. So they're just running them in the better months of the year where they figure it will get more support. So it's three times a week with Jetstar on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays, which means it cuts your flying time down too. Like you're not having to go to Sydney or via Melbourne, Newcastle, mm-hmm. Melbourne, Hobart or drive to Sydney and so on. So really it means you're going to be there and not about bit under two and a half hours. So that's great.
That's nice and short.
Yeah, fantastic. So I just thought we'd talk about, I guess, some of the things you can do out of Hobart. And, of course, you've got to remember Tassie is small. If you wanted to, you could drive, you know, easily from Launceston to Hobart in a few hours. But there's so much to see in that small state that you don't want to do that.
No.
So I just thought today I'm not going to talk too much about the west or the top of the east coast, but really just if you're only going to even go down for a few days, what you can do in more the southern part of, south of Hobart. Obviously everyone knows about Port Arthur, Eagle Hawk Neck, etc. You might remember Dunalley, the famous bushfires, those horrible bushfires some years ago.
Right.
And it was when people were whinging about Facebook, and yet Facebook saved them because this girl put a post out because they couldn't, all their signals were going and, you know, the fire was extreme and they managed to get help to save, you know, some of the town. I mean, a lot of it did get destroyed, but it was just amazing. It's a lovely little town, Dunalley, which you can go through if you coming down that way into Eagle Hawk Neck. But Port Arthur itself, it is historic and it is very interesting.
It's an amazing place.
It is. And, you know, in the old days when I first went there, you didn't even have a reception centre or anything. You just went there and walked around and there was just the little cafe. And that was all. But now, of course, you've got so much information there.
And the memorial is just amazing to just
it is.
Watch and look at, yeah.
And the other way you can go down from Hobart, of course, is to go down the other side of the Don Tricastro Channel and you go down as far as Cockle Creek. And it's not Cockle Creek here. It's Cockle Creek in Tasmania. And it's the most southern town in Australia. And you can go all the way down there. It doesn't take that long to get down there, but there's so much to see along the way. Like there's this town of Geeveston, which is famous for its wood turners and wood makers. I remember buying the most beautiful handcrafted jewellery box from there with little drawers and everything. I've still got it, of course. It's beautiful, hewn pine. But there's a boat makers centre where you can see them still making traditional wooden boats. And then they've got the Tahoon Airwalk, which is just near Geeveston as well, with a big skywalk into the forest. And further down past Dover, and no, not in England, in Tassie, you've got the Hastings Caves and the Thermal Springs that you can go and visit, which is wonderful. The little town of Signet is lovely. And there's another one, I love these names, Snug. There's
oh, that's town, good. You've got to go like to Snug.
But up in the north, just digressing for a moment, when you drive across the top part of Tassie, you've got Penguin.
Oh.
The town of Penguin.
Are there penguins?
I didn't see any.
So it's an ironic name.
But, yeah, they were some of the most unusual and cute little names in Tassie for lots of their places. Then, of course, you've got Huonville, you've got the Franklin River system, you've got the Hartz Mountains. Look, there's just so much. And even just under about an hour out, you've got the Mount Field National Park, where you've got some of the tallest trees in the world. And it's just magnificent. Waterfalls. But in winter, of course, it does snow and you could be trudging through snow there. I remember this winter, I think a family got lost and had to found a hut to stay in overnight.
Oh, we don't want to get lost.
No, well, we won't go there. But no. People do silly things, as we
yes.
know, and go ill-prepared, yes. etc. But that's another story. But no, it's a beautiful part. And, of course, you've got Mount Wellington itself to go up the top of that if it doesn't blow you off the mountain, mm-hmm. depending on the day. I've had to hang on for grim death up there sometimes. What a magnificent view and the windy road to get you up there. You've got Mona, of course, Museum of New and Old Art, as we all know. That's fantastic as well. There's lots of little areas where you can, well, you've got Salamanca markets every Saturday, mm-hmm. which are just brilliant. And if you like scallops, you can get your famous scallop pie. You can get oysters. I mean, the seafood down there is wonderful. If you're there in the right time of the year, you've got your crays. I can't think what time of the year that is, but I have a feeling it may be February. I'm not sure. I'd need to come back to you on that one.
Okay.
But only have them when they're in season because otherwise they're going to be frozen. So just check that. You could probably Google it and check. But if you're down there in cray season, oh, my God, you know, have yourself a dish of crayfish. Honestly, just fantastic. Richmond. Well, you've got the oldest bridge, which is a beautiful town, historic little town you can go to as well. New Norfolk, where you've got the famous agrarian kitchen. This keeps winning awards every year, and we were lucky enough to get a booking there last year. So, oh, wow, what an experience. So there's so much you can do. You could easily fill a week in just doing things in and around within an hour to two at most from Hobart.
Yeah, well, I see you've got a map there, and I want to steal it.
So you're going to steal it, are you? Okay.
I can plan my next holiday.
All right.
Now, we're just talking Tasmania. Before we move on, just want to point out that
you can have winter there in summer.
You can. And I went to Tasmania with my husband and the doofus didn't pack a jumper.
Well,
so
more fool him is all I can say. Dean, idiot.
Dean. he won't be listening right now,
no,
so
oh,
we can
well,
just call him whatever we want.
I can
but,
say anything, can I? But no, yes, please. You can rain. It can get windy. It can get cold. I've been there in November. It's only been 13 degrees. Even got as low as 9 on the West Coast, this was.
Yeah.
So, look, honestly, you've got to go prepared.
Yeah. Four seasons in one day.
Yeah, like Melbourne, but worse.
Yes. So pack for every season.
And when I was using this as a deterrent, we're just saying just make sure that you are aware that you can get cold weather even in summer.
Yes, exactly. So
be prepared. That's all.
That's our little safety warning. Okay.
It is.
Now we're
going
to move on to tips for cheaper holidays.
Well, it was a cover story that was done in one of the travel supplements on the weekend, and I thought it was interesting that they put that in because you read a lot of these travel supplements, and you know they're talking about hotels, and you look at the euro and the pound and convert, and you think I can't afford that much money per night in a hotel, and you might not be young enough to be a backpacker or stay in hostels, so you want somewhere in between. And also you want to still see everything and do everything that you want to do, but you don't want to miss out, but you don't want to pay through the nose. So I thought, well, that was an interesting article for a change, just giving people some advice on how you can make your stays more affordable. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So they've picked out a few cities, and I won't go through all of them. I'll go through some that we probably often go to or more likely go to. Singapore was one, and of course it's been renowned for a long time for being hellishly expensive. Like, I had friends live there for years, and she said, like, to buy a roast lamb, for example, and we think we pay a lot, they'd be paying double.
Right.
You know what I mean? To go and buy that piece of meat. Eating out, your drinks and everything are expensive, and we all know that. And by Southeast Asian standards, it is very high because nearly everything, there's such a small island, is imported too, you've got to remember. So they're not growing their own produce and produce, you know what I mean? So it is expensive. But don't forget, they've got lots of free attractions like a lot of cities do. Like, their botanical gardens are stunning, and you can hire a bike to ride through them even if you want to do that rather than walk. You've got a Japanese garden, Chinese garden, you've got Fort Canning Park, there's the Marina One Green Heart Garden is called, which is just amazing. And don't forget, like, you've still got these little suburbs like Chinatown and Little India, these little enclaves where there's still where you can eat cheaper food and immerse yourself in the other cultures, not just, you know, the Southeast Asian of, you mainly think of, I guess, Chinese or Malay, but, like, don't forget you've got these other nationalities that are all part of make Singapore what it is. So it's a very multicultural, if you like, city with lots of people from all different parts of Asia living there. So that's always interesting to do as well. And don't forget, you've got hawker centres on a lot of the streets there where you can get, like, cheap eats. And the hawker food there is good. Like, it's good quality hawker food, because to eat it at any of the restaurants, you know, when I say a restaurant rather than not a cafe, an actual restaurant, it is going to cost you money. But they, believe it or not, their taxis are cheap. And they've got a good metro system, so you can use either of those, and getting around is quite inexpensive. Now, another one that we all know is probably staying with Asia at the minute is Hong Kong. And it's a consulting firm, I don't know it, but it's called Mercer. Someone might know it out there. This was quoting what they said. They reckon it's the world's costliest city. And whether that's right or not, I don't know. But again, you've got the old ferry. You've got, as I mentioned, we've talked about Hong Kong recently, you've got the Octopus card that you can load up, which is a good way of using all your transport, getting around. You know, you can use it for buying bits and pieces at, you know, those little stores you might want to get a snack or whatever. So there are lots of things you can do there. And you've got neighbourhoods there like that you can get to, Mong Kok and so on, that have little family-run shops and smaller eateries and, you know, people that are selling noodles and all that sort of stuff, which is good. The noodle shops are really good, and they're called Dai Pai Dong. Dai Pai Dong. But yeah, so you can, again, and that you could splurge on certain things. You're going to splurge. You want to do the Peak Tram, obviously, to go up to Victoria Peak. You're not going to not do certain things. But the other things you can do, and especially with food, you know, food can be expensive, as we all know, even in our own country, food is damned expensive. So if you can do that cheaper, that's going to save yourself. And maybe if you can just put yourself on a little bit of a diet and only have two meals a day. You know, grab a piece of fruit, grab a banana or something for lunch or breakfast, one or the other, and just, you know, make sure you have one decent meal a day and eat just healthy snack, more snack-style food, because you're out there doing, seeing. You don't want to waste time just sitting down.
Well, it depends what you're into. Some people like to travel to eat.
Yes, of
course.
And
so I guess if you're wanting to eat, then go and
eat.
But if you, and then just maybe go to free things around town, you know.
Yeah, a lot of free museums and free things that you can go to, or something with minimal costs, or on certain days of the week, even places like Paris will have, you know, free entry on certain times or certain days. So you need to look all that sort of stuff up before you go. You know, once you Google, start Googling, and we all know Mrs. Google is wonderful, but, you know, it does help you plan your holiday. And again, in London, like, you know how expensive London is. It's, again, one of the most expensive cities in the world. Fuel and all that sort of stuff is hellishly expensive. Mm. But, again, you can stay outside of London, just get the train in. Like, you can do the same in Rome. Like, you can buy these metro passes, stay a couple of suburbs out, and you're going to halve the cost of your accommodation at least. And the cost of transport isn't that expensive. It'll balance out that you'll be much better off still doing it that way.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You know, and then you'll often get the cheaper eateries once you're out in those suburbs as well. So yeah, just a bit of thinking outside the square sometimes, that you don't have to stay right in the city, but stay close where there's a good transport system. So you know you can just hop off the train, for example, or the bus, whichever you're using, and your accommodation's nearby. So you don't want to be chasing yourself all day or chasing your tail. You want to make it easy. And you can do it. Mm. You can do it. Bit of planning, that's all.
All about the planning.
All about the planning. I love planning.
I do too, but within reason. I have an idea of where I want to go, and then I want somebody else to kind of plan it for me.
Well, see, that's where I come in.
Yeah, that's right. I'll have to see you. Do hot deals. We like this one. What have you got, Sal?
Okay, I'm starting with Viking Cruises. They've got a lot of actually really good hot deals at the moment. Now, they all finish on the 1st of December, and there's a range of different ones because they do ocean voyages as well as, you know, short voyages and river cruises. So the offers are a bit different on each one. But for example, on their river voyages, you can fly free, and or if you book an ocean or expedition voyage, your companion flies free. Now, that offer ends 1 December. So that's really worth it because that's quite a saving, if you can imagine what your airfares are like this year. Now, they've also got, they've announced, would you believe this, by popular demand, their Pharaohs and Pyramids, which I've talked about before, their beautiful Nile River cruise. They've put out dates as far ahead as 2028 already.
Oh, wow.
And they're accepting bookings already. And again, for a limited time, but up until 1 December again, you can fly free when you book one of their journeys as well. So they've got lots of deals at the moment. So anything you're thinking of doing, whether it's, you know, around and circumnavigation or anything, there'll be some sort of a good deal, either a rebate or a fly free. But you've got till 1 December. Now, the Canadian Rockies, that's always appealing, I
think. Beautiful.
And you've lived there, so you know what it's like.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, of course, it is a wonderful part of Canada. I mean, there's all sorts of wonderful parts. Like Australia, it's a big country, and you've got bits in the middle that are the prairie style that probably aren't as interesting, but like on both the coastal sides, both got some fascinating stuff. And then, you know, once you go further up into the north as well. So, I mean, just Lake Louise and Banff and all
Banff
that.
Banff is amazing, Canmore.
And, you know,
lovely.
Maligne Lake and, you know, all those. Just such beautiful. Anyway, this ends not that far out. It's the 28th of October. And this is with Travel Marvel, and you get a fly free for your companion for a range of their 2026 tours. So it varies because they've got a lot of tours, so too many for me to mention, but they have a whole range of tours throughout Canada, even including like the Alaskan cruise tacked onto it as well, that have got rebates. Aurora Expeditions, they've got a sailing at the moment called Beyond Borders Sail, Unlock the Arctic. So you save up to 20% and plus a bonus of an air credit as well. So that's pretty good. And you've got till the 31st of December to do that. So to go to those incomparable areas of Greenland we've talked about not so long ago as well, such a huge island with such breathtaking scenery. So there's some great quotes. Discounts, anyway, there for you as well. So, and there's a lot of other ones out there at the moment, like you've got APT with their river cruising, have got some rebates. Most of these are finishing usually end of October, or some go through to December. You've also got Rail. Now, with your Indian Pacific and your GAN, they have rebates on both those voyages as well, so long as you book 6 months in advance. And often you can't get on. You'd be lucky to get on 6 months in advance, to be quite honest. They book out those trains so far ahead, it's remarkable. So earlier you get in, the better if you want to do one of those journeys, because it is, well, particularly the Indian Pacific, the length it is considered one of the great rail journeys of the world. But the GANs is also just as great. So there's lots out there at the moment. I had too many to talk about today because there were just so many good offers that are going to finish soon. Bunnings and all their tours, which include airfares to whether it be Egypt, Asia, they've got rebates as well until sold out. So it's just a matter of getting in early. You find a lot happens at this time of the year because it's a lull between Christmas and the summer season.
Yeah.
So this is when you get a lot of the good offers that you should take advantage of either this month or into early next month. And just if you're thinking of travelling next year, or even as far as 2028, if you want to go and do an Egypt cruise, well, that's giving you time to save, isn't it?
It sure is.
That's 3 years.
Yeah.
If you can't save enough by then, you shouldn't be going.
That's right. Well, thank you very much.
Lots out there, and we'll see more with more of these next week.
Yeah, plenty next week. And if you've been thinking about a holiday, I guess it's time to get onto Dr. Google and not Dr. Google, but Google.
Or
and,
whatever. But do your planning. I love people, and I've always loved people who'll come in to me and have done some homework or are prepared to go home and do some homework. They might come into you for some suggestions. Oh, look, we weren't sure whether this was going to be practical or whatever. So it's always good to talk to your travel agent as well. Google doesn't tell you everything, but it certainly helps when you're planning an itinerary. And that really means that you've got so many apps now that help you, as we've said before, whether it be maps, language, whatever. And again, going back to that language, always try and make sure you learn a few words of the country you're going to.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Even just the
as well.
Hello, good morning, goodbye, thank you. You know, just even those basics. And your smile. Never forget your smile.
Yep. That's right. Some good tips there. Thank you very much, Sally. We'll catch up with
you
next
Amanda.
Week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.